From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Bop Rap, boys and girls. If we get through this program, it's going to be a miracle in joke from the from us lot. We're waffling on a little bit. It doesn't matter.
You be like a professional.
No. My name's Eric Wiltshire. We're at the base of the Tatry Mountains here in the east of Slovakia. It's gorgeously sunny and incredibly snowy still, which is kind of cool. I'm in the little village of Poprad, hence it's called Postcard from Poprad. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, known as the Great Britannia, it's Lee Banks.
Hello. Well, we're sitting in the snow as well, and my log's just gone out. I can't believe it. But it's gloriously in the little village of the damned at the foot of the M6. It's incredibly cold and freezing. How's it over there?
Do you know, he's getting as bad as all the megastars of the world, boys and girls. His contract now states, I must light my fire with logs before we start the programme.
Yeah, how pathetic. I was talking about that kind of log.
Doesn't work on radio, does it? And over in Gay Parry, it's now the Mr. Mark Gander.
Yes. Yeah! Well, hello, Gay. from Paris, and it's not snowing here. And in fact, I mean, they've had dreadful snow, but I wasn't around to see it. But now it's quite warm weather. That's I normally have a woolly hat on, but I didn't need it on today. And it's very wet, been very rainy.
Oh, are, bless.
Cleans some of the rubbish off the pavements here.
You said that like a Parisian. You said it's been very raining.
I've said, is it very raining?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was so sexy.
Is the bomb. No, we won't go to that one.
Eric just invented his own language, haven't you?
Yeah, I speak Sloglish. 50% Slovak, 50% English, which reminds me, I must say thank you to the chemists up in Kaufland, who were very nice to me the other day and very helpful and thought I was very good at my, the young lady actually said super about my Slovak language, which is not bad. Hi to Talk Radio X in the US of A and to Replay Radio, the lovely people on Audio Boo, on Stickum, and of course on RTI.fm. Welcome you all. There's loads going on this week and I'm going to plough through some of the first bits. Good luck to Chris Medhurst, who's one of our listeners, who's starting a new radio career. Chris,
oh, right.
If you've learned anything from this programme, forget it.
Don't do it, mate.
Don't. No, don't go there.
It's just like talking to nobody.
We've got a new group on Facebook, which is going down incredibly well. Radio Tatras International News has opened on Facebook. Marcus says, nice one, Eric. Roxy, I'd love to know who you are, because I think you're wonderful. She says about the programme, you're in a class of your own.
Mm. What did you mean, yes. We're back at school?
Is that good or bad?
Expelled, I think.
Expelled, yeah.
Graham Wilson says, Eric, your postcards from Poprad are legendary, so friends of mine with a wicked sense of humour, get over to Radio Tatras International, ready for the next one. Thank you, Graham. Also, really? Hi to Katya, to David, another David, Rachel, to Joe, to Bash, to Leah, Rebecca, Susanna, Duke, and there is just so many more. I couldn't actually squeeze them all in.
I've just got four. Can I do a quick couple of yours
then?
Right. First one. This is quite a nice one off Dory, but it could be a bit contentious. So I'm just going to whip through it and then we'll ignore it.
Right.
Although Dory. This is Dory. I don't know where she's from. Which she used to write to us a lot, actually, if you remember.
Yes.
Although journalism has to be factual, not fantasy, it ends up being a special piece of work. Everyone different. You can switch channels on radio station, or radio stations, or look at all the newspapers and find the facts to be presented with a new slant. This means you can get a good, balanced idea, especially in politics.
Okay.
That's off Dory. Right. Duke says, hope you've had a good Christmas and a new year. I am. That's a simple joke. One off Emma from Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
She says, listen to the show for the first time over Christmas. It's hilarious! I'm definitely going to listen again. Then there's one off Post Office Lorraine.
Hang on, was that before or after a large vodka that she said that?
I think she's a nun. I don't think she drinks. I don't think she does anything of this world. Yeah, she had none. Right, Post Office Lorraine, quick one off her. Nice to hear that she's listening. She's married to Post Office Peter from the Village of the Damned.
Mm-hmm.
She says, the powers that be have taken away our buses, finally. We're cut off from the world, a village stranded in the middle of nowhere. Can you help us?
No.
Well, no. something that might interest you, actually, Lorraine, to be honest.
No, right. Anyway, moving across to Essex and Basildon in particular. This was from Brian Kemp, who works at Basildon TV. Eric, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. No, he says happy new
year. Should have done a jolt then, Mark.
Sorry. hope you're well. Could you wish everybody a happy new year and kindly give a mention to my wife, Nikki, and daughters, Lucy and Emma? Consider it done, Brian. Sam Shropshire is from Baltimore in Maryland. Sam, we've done it! Sam's been nagging us for ages to make a page for RTI on LinkedIn. So there you go, Sam, we've done it. So you can now get Radio Tatra's international news on LinkedIn as well. My God. And thank you to everybody that's been looking at our new streaming service. Really weird for a Christmas period. We've been adding thousands of new listeners over the holiday period. So thank you very much indeed. Round of applause to everybody for doing
bravo
that.
To everybody.
Yeah, and we're going to start by showing off a bit. Do you know of any sport, guys, that the Aussies are good at?
Tying kangaroos down.
Ah, right.
Sport.
Yes. Because
try and catch one, man. Yeah,
the Barbie Army have been going nuts down in Sydney because England won the final Ashes Test and slammed the Aussies. Ho, 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 ho. Winning the series 3-1 and securing the first Ashes Test win down in Aussie. I'm just thinking of the Aussie listeners down there. Oh, dear, what a shame. The first time they've done that in 24 years. Well done, the English crew. Good on you. See, we can do something sometimes.
That's good. I'll tell you what, actually, I've been watching the cricket for hours now.
Have you?
Yeah, but I finally worked out it does it with its back legs.
I like that, very good. Before we go any further, Mark wants to do a shameless plug for BBC Radio 5, and they need our help, bless them, small radio station, with a subject that I know Lee will jump up and down about, as I was. Mark, what's it all about?
Well, there's a practice that's going on at the moment called civil recovery, and it involves where people who are suspected of shoplifting in all sorts of shops, particularly people like Boots, Tesco's, a lot of large names, instead of putting these people really into police process, which is where I think people should go, you know, even if they're not guilty, I think people are entitled to go through proper procedure and to be heard and so forth. Instead, they're having their details taken from them. It's apparently a very frightening experience. Old people, young people, vulnerable people are being affected. And then their details are being sent to civil recovery companies. An example of one is called Retail Loss Prevention, which happens to be the biggest. And then later on, these people then start to get letters demanding payments of very, very large sums of money, or else the matter will then go further either to the police or go into a county court to get money back. And from what I understand from the Citizens and Vice Bureau, who've taken a big interest in it, a lot of people are ending up paying up simply because they're too frightened.
How much are they paying?
Well, they could pay anything. Apparently, they're getting demands between £400 to £700, and this could just be suspected of stealing a lipstick. And in fact, one story we've got on our forum, which the BBC was very interested in, was a lady who went into a supermarket store with her old slippers in order to match them up with some new ones. She then simply walked out with her old ones and was challenged and was taken into the back for shoplifting. And she's also been receiving demands from a civil recovery company for a lot of money, and they just won't listen to her excuses, and nobody wants to listen to her. Anyway,
do we
been
know
a
who
of
this woman is?
The BBC have been.
You don't have to say now. Oh, right.
We've got her details, and in fact, we provided them to the BBC, and I think the BBC have been trying to reach her. I think that she wasn't available for this particular programme. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the Citizens Advice Bureau are very concerned about it. Very, very decent Citizens Advice Bureau man called Richard Dunstan has written a couple of reports on it. And finally, there's going to be a programme lasting about half an hour, which is pretty good, on Five Live Investigates Sunday night. This is Radio 2100 to 2200 GMT. So you can either get that on your ordinary FM radio or on internet radio, you'll be able to hear it. And I think people ought to be aware of this kind of practice.
Or on your satellite box, or on your DAB box as well.
Yes, you're
right. Two points I wouldn't mind making about that, actually. Yeah. First of all, yeah, it's absolutely wrong and despicable that any private company can move into an area of law and order and start to draconianly place fines on people for things that they may or may not have done. That is despicable, and how it actually has been allowed to come about is unbelievable. I'd like to look into that myself. But there is a simple point. There is a simple point. That if just for there is a way of mitigating what they've actually offered by doing this is a way of mitigating your crime. For instance, just think of it this way, and I'm not vaulting this as something that you should do, but if you get breathalyzed, if you get stopped and you've been drinking and driving, anybody who's savvy in the law knows that if you've had more than a couple of pints, refuse a breathalyzer, you will automatically get a 12-month ban. Mm-hmm. That mitigates the fact that you could end up in jail if you've had 10 pints, so you go for the minimum by refusing it.
We don't condone that, boys and girls.
That's what I'm saying. It's despicable that you can actually do that. And what these companies are doing are playing down the same lines. They are giving you a get-out clause that might cost you £400 or £700, but if you are really guilty, they are actually giving you a get-out clause. They are interfering with the due process of law.
They are, absolutely. And they even threaten to put people on some kind of dishonesty database, which apparently they maintain privately.
Well, they can't do it. That is absolutely illegal.
Well, apparently it may not be illegal.
No, it may not be illegal, because if they signed a bit of paper that enables them to be part of this process, as long as that was registered with the data protection people, they could put them on a privately held database. Yes.
Yeah, they could do that. Yeah, but what I'm saying is generally not just because they've got your name, they can't say that you are a fraudster or a shoplifter or anything. They can't do that.
No, no.
And the thing, stand up to the people anyway. Just stand. I in the past, a long time ago, was offered a caution by the police over something that I hadn't done. They took me in, they held me overnight in the cells. I hadn't committed any crime at all. And when it came to the crunch, when I sat down and faced them, they knew I hadn't committed a crime. And what they did was offer me a caution. And I said, basically, you know what you can do with your caution, take me to court. Mm. And they dropped the case.
Funny,
but I could have had a criminal record.
Yeah.
And it's that fear factor that destroys people's lives.
Anyway, so that's BBC Radio 5 Sunday evening. What time, GMT?
BBC Radio 5 Live. It's called 5 Live Investigates, and it's from 9 o'clock in the evening till 10 o'clock. That's 2100 to 2200 GMT.
There you go. Some silly stuff coming up next. It's the birds dropping, and apparently...
That's not silly. That's a tragedy.
It's not. Because I saw this on the telly and I went... Whoa. Lee, this is yours. Off, over to you.
Well, it's just a funny thing, isn't it? That all these birds have started to fall out of the sky all over America. Mm. And also, coupled with that, since we first put this thing together, there are fish being found dead all over the world as well. Mm. Something is happening that is killing off the wildlife of the world en masse as we speak at this moment. What it is, we don't know. There is loads of conspiracy theories going about. People are saying that it's a death ray by America's testing out a death ray.
Right.
Yeah, that global warming is causing this problem. All sorts. But it is very mysterious and quite tragic.
I think that the bit that they...
is being killed off.
They found that these... was it blackbirds? I think it was blackbirds, wasn't it? Yeah,
blackbirds.
Yeah. These are blackbirds, yeah.
Yeah, some of them didn't actually sort of fall plummeting to the earth and stumbled around like drunken revelers in one report I saw.
That's right. And think of that, Duke.
Yeah. it could be... One theory is it's fireworks that's done it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you can't blow thousands of birds out of the sky and thousands of fish out of the sea with a few fireworks.
Well, if it was a £5 rocket, you know, from Brox, it might.
You can do. I mean, all joking.
£5 rocket, barely got off the ground.
If you, Listen, if
but
you
did you see that they've had the same thing in Sweden?
In Sweden, yeah.
They've had hundreds of apparently of starlings falling out of the sky. And apparently, I thought that it was very telling because apparently the autopsy result on a few of them said it looked as if they died from being hit with or having an impact with a blunt instrument, which I imagine was a good way to describe the ground.
kind of, isn't it? And the other thing to add to that, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was a big outcry a few years ago when everybody got into eco-fishing and responsible fishing and things like that, where a lot of third world countries were still using dynamite to catch fish. They throw the dynamite in it.
That's right.
So it could be the same scenario, you see, big rocket.
But it's just a mystery, isn't it? I'm not saying there's anything there. I am not a conspiracy theorist, so if we get onto Corporal Clegg and things, I will put a couple of conspiracies forward to you.
Yeah.
But it's just a strange thing. Can I just tell you about Saudi Arabia arresting a vulture for spying?
Oh, go on.
Yes.
Yeah, unbelievable. Right, this vulture, right, was flying over the desert near Saudi or in Saudi.
Yeah. As you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're a vulture, that's it. Oh, I'll head out to the desert. The thing was, it had a GPS transmitter on its leg.
Right.
So, the Saudis followed it through the desert. Right? In one of those little cars. Or maybe it was one of those big posh cars with flags on it. I don't know what they thought. But anyway, they captured it, right? And they are holding it as a spy.
For Israel.
Saying that it's part of a Zionist plot.
No.
Well, the trouble is that it was circumcised. So, I mean, it obviously came from Israel, didn't it?
I knew that was coming. You lot are so blasted predictable.
So it was just a bandage.
Do you think that's why their heads look the way they are?
We'll stick a bit of frivolity into this next time. This is one that, I honestly, boys and girls, I can only add now, wake up and smell the coffee. HMV have issued a statement after the sales from the high street retailer. And if you're not in the UK, let me explain that HMV originally sold records and sheet music. It now does sort of games and CDs and DVDs, the stuff that you can buy on the internet, often cheaper. And this high street retailer saw its shares plummet when they put the statement out, has blamed the snow...
Yeah.
For lack of sales. What about the internet, for goodness sake? People don't buy CDs anymore. Good morning!
it's a good point, I suppose. I suppose that's not a bad point.
No.
How come the rest of the high street trade isn't blaming the snow? I mean,
I think they are.
Just HMV.
Some of them are, Mark. But the thing is that the disparaging thing here is that the losses are so much greater with HMV compared to others. And that's because HMV's in an industry which, hello, wake up. If I want to buy some music, I download it. Because A, I can get it now, and B, I get it at a far better price. So why would I go traipsing out in the snow to a shop to buy a piece of plastic when I can get it just sent to my... Saves the car, saves the traffic, saves the arguments about whether you should turn left or right with she who must be obeyed, saves parking problems...
Saves the world.
Well, you're dead right. You're dead right. Don't HMV have an online store?
They do.
I'm sure they do.
They do.
Yeah.
And they are they're trying to move into live concerts and that sort of activity, which the music industry is trying to do as well. But, you know, you can't... It's so almost naive to blame the weather for something when everybody else around you knows, hello, it's not that, it's something else. And you can't do that in the modern world.
Sounds like some top management trying to save their jobs, actually. Mm.
Which reminds me, you've got to be very careful, according to the news reports coming out today. There's apparently new terrorist threats in the main UK transport hubs. So if you are going in or out of the UK, don't panic too much if you see some more security guards around, because apparently they are there, but you can't actually see them, because I've been talking to some people in London today, and these guys are not as exposed, if I can put it that way, in the way that normal police are. There are guys there's lots of them there, but they're all incognito. That'll teach them, won't it? Something that Lee brought up, and I'm going to expand on it, was...
Oh, no, it was really long when I sent it you.
No. This week also sees in the US of A, the CIS show. Yeah. Which I love. CIS. It's my favourite show.
Is that the CIS?
CIS or CES?
CES, it should be. What have I put? CIS? Oh, blast.
Yeah.
CES. It's right there, further down the script. It's a consumer electronics show, which I had the privilege of broadcasting from one time. It's fabulous, boys.
It sounds lovely, even for a Philistine like me.
The whole of Vegas is full of tech for weeks. Yeah. Beforehand, and they all get there, and then you have like 4 days of wonderful stuff. Lady Gaga's in there already, and I don't understand this, so maybe you two can explain this to me. She's tied up with Polaroid, which of course is the struggling firm a little bit at the moment, and there's a new pair of high-tech sunglasses that have a camera built into them, so you can take pictures of what you see. Now that makes sense.
That's lovely. That's a brilliant idea.
But there's also little screens built into the lenses that displays the images you've just taken back to the people you've just taken them of. Now, why would you want to do that?
It depends on what you're looking for in the first place. Do you remember those 3D glasses you used to get in the 50s and the 60s that could see through people's clothes?
No.
Remember, you used to get them in. You used to get them
What's
in the
beer.
Well, just go to any airport now, Mark.
Okay.
Why didn't they supply them with those? Just give them all these plastic glasses that you can see through the clothes.
Because they didn't work. They weren't real.
They did work. I could see through everybody's clothes. I stand in front of the mirror with them on, looking.
There's another nice toy that comes out from the Lady Gaga range of goodies, which will come back, be more of Lady Gaga shortly, whereby she's got, and it's really tiny, I've seen the picture of it, in her hand, a little printer that talks to your mobile phone and works in Polaroid style. So you take the picture, you send it to the little printer that's in your hand, and it prints it out like a Polaroid picture for you. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but that's exactly what the Polaroid camera used to do.
Yeah, but it can't do it anymore now, because why would you lug around a big camera when you've got a little phone that will do a better job?
Because it only gives you a little picture.
No, it doesn't. It gives you a proper size picture.
How big?
The size of a Polaroid picture.
That's little.
But anyway, just a little warning for Apple fans. You might be disappointed to know that it's not compatible with your iPhone. Never mind. Moving along. Bit of a cock-up in the UK, it's got to be said. It's to do with quasi-autonomous non-governmental organisations known as Quangos, which Mark is quite outspoken about.
Well, yeah. I think it's just amazing, really. The news today is that the big plan to scrap all sorts of these organisations, Quangos, which was intended to save enormous amount of money.
£1 billion, they were going to say.
That much.
Yep.
Introduced by the new coalition government was also to cut through bureaucracy and to make government organisations, government departments more accountable. Now, a committee of MPs, led, incidentally, I think, by a Conservative member of parliament, in other words, part of the government, has now announced that the whole thing's been poorly done, poorly managed, and in fact, the quote is that the whole thing has been botched. And it won't be providing any of the savings or improving any of the accountability. Well, my heart breaks about this because three of the things that were going to go were including the OFT, the Consumer Focus, Consumer Direct, these kind of organisations which are meant to help ordinary people. And it looks like now that they're being abolished, these people, ordinary consumers, have got nowhere to turn to. And for what? It looks like it should never have been done.
The trouble with this is that the Quang Quangos have got out of hand. Now, why you have to have a film council paid for by the government? The film council can be paid for by the film industry if you want one. It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be a government-funded thing. And there are so many things which, if I was to say what I was really thinking right now, I'd probably get a fine from a regulator. But
I want to say something.
No, the trouble is there's so many of these Quangos built They all do exactly the same thing. And I do believe in the rationalisation of these bodies. It's the same as when, you know, there was one independent regulator for radio, another one for television, and had we been here today, there would have been a third one for the internet. You don't need three. Ofcom does the job for all three. And it's simple. It doesn't cost thousands of millions of pounds to do that. And if they all collated their information and shared their information, you wouldn't need half of them.
I think you must be. I think you're absolutely quite right. I think you're absolutely quite right. But I mean, you would expect at least to have some benefits coming out of this. And it looks to me as if, certainly in terms of consumer protection, which is my own area of interest, it looks to me that people are left with a massive hole and absolutely no benefit. And who's laughing? Well, the retailers and the finance industries and anybody who really has got some interest in selling something to consumers. And I think it's a tremendous shame.
Which reminds me, before we get to the end of part one, which we're very close to, a little word of warning, which is connected to Lloyds Bank.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. God, I was waiting for you to jump in there.
Yes, well, it looks like, you know, Lloyds Bank have made actually, there's so many errors. I'm trying to sort of think on. I'm confusing those with Orange. No, that's right. It seems that many people who paid with their Lloyds credit cards, I think that's the one, isn't Eric, over the Christmas period,
double charges,
being billed once, have been billed twice for the same item, for the same meal or whatever thing else they bought. Just once again, quite extraordinary.
Christmas, what it's all about, spending.
It is, and it's the season of goodwill. And of course, Lloyds.
Good
of course,
on your banks.
Expect,
well done.
Yes, the Lloyds will expect goodwill from their customers to put
that's
up with
right.
it. You know, I'm just wondering how many people maybe were, in fact, double charged for that meal, and then when they went on later on to try and buy something else for Christmas, they weren't able to because their bank said, sorry, you've got no funds. I think it actually has got all sorts of very serious repercussions, which I'm sure the bank won't talk about. I think it's, just another sign of the way the banking industry really doesn't really do a good job.
No, and I think
what about...
You've got 30 seconds, that's it. Go on.
Right. What about Lloyds? I've got a Liverpoolian mate, right, who sent in a loan application yesterday. And when he did it, he said to me in the pub after, he says, I've got a really good credit history. I think I'll walk it. I said, nah, you're from Liverpool, mate. You'll never walk alone.
Very good. That's the end of part one from Postcard from Pop Rad Boys and Girls. We'll be back fast and you can make that milkshake, get a cup of tea, or even pop to the bathroom. This is Postcard from Pop Rad.
RTI.